Then I got an email from Fenton that said to be respectful of time, so I'm only going to do one of them. So I absolutely love how much is packed into Paul's discussion on communion found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So while I've talked about it before, I think we'll find that we'll continue to return to it again and again. I was just absolutely hoping that the Spirit would guide me which way to go. So I'm glad that definitely feeling that like this is the way to go. So starting in verse 23, "For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, and that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So why do we do this? So we do it to remember him and to proclaim his death until he comes. So how do we do this? So God had a plan. And the reason for that plan was sin. God prepared a plan for us going back to when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And man has continued to sin ever since then. Jesus said, "Everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." In the New Testament, men are declared to be in bondage, the Jews to the law, the Gentiles to idols, and all men to sin. God's purpose in the plan was to release man from this bondage through the gospel, as we were just singing about. So, Christ's death and how it plays into God's plan was that after centuries of preparation, God completes his plan. Paul states that when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son that he might redeem them that were under the law. Christ achieved this redemption when he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Peter explains, he himself bore our sin in his body on the cross. So this redemptive work. So Fenton has talked about in the past when he preached about redemption and God's plan, how a slave in biblical times had to be redeemed. And that redemption required for someone to be a redeemer, right? And then somebody to pay for that redemption. So there's a ransom that has to be paid. So Christ, our Redeemer, paid that ransom for our release. The ransom was his own life. He came to earth to give his life a ransom for many, as shown in Mark 10:45. Man was in captivity. He could not break the grip of sin. Jesus paid the price so man could go free. Under grace, sin shall not be your master. That's Romans 6:14. Christ paid a costly price for our freedom, his own blood. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And that's Galatians 3:13. He bore the curse, which is the penalty that would have rested on us. So the climax of that plan is the cross and resurrection. The cross and the resurrection completed the plan of redemption. And Paul states it concisely of Christ, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised up for our justification. That's Romans 4:25. At the cross, the ransom was paid, the curse removed, and Christ had atoned for his people's sins. Christ was raised up to guarantee their justification or innocence, and resurrection forever revealed God's acceptance of his Son's sacrifice and atoning work. There's also the part of the redemptive plan of God is his blood. And for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by life. And that's Leviticus 17:11. So Paul states that in him we have redemption through his blood. Hebrews 9:22 adds that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Peter almost fell into Satan's trap when he tried to dissuade Jesus from going to the cross. He did not understand that without blood, there is no forgiveness, as is talked about. in Matthew 16. So what are the blessings of the blood of Christ? So the blessings include that the blood of Christ was sealed, the blood of Christ sealed the new covenant. The old covenant was sealed or confirmed by the blood of animals in Exodus chapter 24. And whenever we had Garrett and Robert both come up and share about the historical significance of how animal sacrifice presented the terms of the covenant if broken in Old Testament times. The covenant is discussed when in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, when Jesus tells us that he himself, through his broken body and poured out blood, is that new covenant. The new covenant was sealed by the blood of Jesus when Christ gave the Lord's Supper. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Also, Christ, through his death, obtained complete and eternal salvation for all mankind. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, having obtained eternal redemption. The gospel, then, is the good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day according to the Scriptures. The key phrase is died for our sins. Paul said that while we were sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul also wrote that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. This salvation is described in many ways. For example, we are justified. When one believes and obeys the gospel, he is justified, declared innocent, freed from the penalty of sin. Justified is a legal term, as sinners, men stood before God's court, guilty, condemned, deserving of death. Jesus took our place, our blame, our penalty. God then can pronounce us innocent, guiltless, and since we have now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from God's wrath through him. That's Romans 5, verse 9. We're also redeemed. The blood of Christ redeems us from the bondage of sin. And we're also cleansed by the blood. And it cleanses us from all sin. So this proclamation that we're that we come and do each Sunday as we have the Lord's Supper also includes our doing it week after week until he comes. So in that idea of doing it until he comes, there's this confirmation of his resurrection as well as his return. And so it's from this return that we can have hope. And hope is something that I think that is so very important for us to have. So the new blessings that we have from Christ being risen again includes that he's never going to die again, and that when he arose, he completed the gospel plan of salvation, and that this Christ's resurrection assured that we also will be resurrected when he returns as well. And the last thing is that his resurrection wrested from Satan the power of death, so that the sting of it can no longer reach us. Hope is one of the three great pillars of the Christian faith, along with faith and love. And faith is what we're talking about this year. The Christian's hope is based on God and his promises, and Jesus and the gospel. Paul speaks of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We in Christ in us is our hope. Paul urges the Christians to continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. That's Colossians 1:23. In Jesus' death, he paid the penalty for sin, thereby freeing us from his guilt. In his resurrection, he abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Peter states that through his great mercy, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus confirmed this when he said, "Because I live, you shall live also." The gospel is a sure basis for our hope. And one of the songs I enjoyed as a kid was written by a gentleman by the name of Edward Mote. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the awesome, the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son and this wonderful plan to redeem us from our sins and to give us hope, God, and just in all that the wonderfulness that there is of that. And just thank you so much for loving us, that you would sacrifice yourself through your Son in order that we may have life and have it abundantly here and also have hope for the future, being able to be joined alongside with you. In your Son's precious name we do pray. Amen.